See Curtis Short in North Little Rock, Becky Bradley in Sherwood, or Roe Henderson in Conway.
Justin, Pat, and Joe are lighting up every day right here at the Fury Electric Studio. Let Fury Electric work on your next industrial, commercial, or residential project by calling 327-7744.
2 6 packs of Shiner. 99.
Welcome back to the Zone, the First Security Kickoff Classic press conference coming up here in a little bit. It's the Zone on the road. Justin Ankry, Pat Bradley, Big Baby, holding it down back at the Fury Electric Studio. Going to update the Barclays real quick before we go to the Revolution Hotline and talk to Bleacher Report SEC blogger Barrett Sally.
We have Nick Watney.
Oh, he's Nick Watney.
6 under through 15.
Is that right? Well, they're tearing that joint up. They're playing at Bethpage Black.
Paddy Harrington.
Me thinks me made a birdie.
Yes, he did. He's tied for second with Gary Christian at 5 under. Your boy Sergio is playing good back-to-back.
You know Sergio?
Yes. No, you don't know, sir. I know Sergio, and you do not know Sergio.
I know Sergio Garcia, and you, sir, are no Sergio Garcia.
Your boy Phil Mickelson's 2 under through 14.
Hmm.
Tiger Woods, y'all, and Rory at 2 under through 12. Steve Stricker, 2 under. So a lot of guys tied at 2.
Stricker? Dang near killed her. What about Ken Duke and Bryce Mulder?
Bryce is 1 under through 11.
Oh, yeah. Ken doesn't tee off till 11:30.
Louis Oosthuizen's. He's 1 under.
Okay.
So I'll keep you updated, though.
Oh, please do. Please do. Without further ado, we go to the Revolution Hotline and talk to Barrett Sally of BleacherReport.com. Barrett, I know this is an exciting day for you. We're thrilled as well. Your initial foray into the Zone.
I'm pleased to be here. I wish it was under different circumstances because we got another suspension, but the offseason is still wreaking havoc upon.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that. Do you think this, you talk about the Tennessee suspension?
It's bad news, good news, though, bro, because it's not somebody from Arkansas, so we're okay with it.
Yeah. I got to say, at this point, I think if I was Dooley, I'd let a lot of stuff slide if that's my best player.
Did you kill a guy? No, coach.
Well, then you're in.
Did you put on your pads?
Yeah, at this point, the timing is terrible, and I agree. At this point, Dooley needs all the help he can get.
No, Dooley needs to go, did you kill a guy? I sure did, coach. That's all right. You can sit out the first quarter.
Did he deserve
he's,
it?
He's in trouble.
Well, it should be more like, can you do that in the game for us?
Right.
You know, a lot of people have him as one of the top five receivers in the country, Derek Rogers, and with the little apostrophe in an odd place. Where do you have him as far as that goes? I guess he's an elite of an elite, right?
Yeah, he's certainly up there. Last year he had a great year, led all SEC receivers in catches, one above Jarius Wright, and finished second to Wright in receiving yards. So he's a stud. There's no doubt about it. It's a huge deal. And he was a big reason why Tennessee's wide receiving core was probably second in the country to USC's. I mean, Justin Hunter's a great player, was probably their best receiver, probably still is their best receiver, but tore his ACL against Florida last year and missed most of the season. And Cordarrelle Patterson is a junior college guy they're really high on, but, Derek Rogers is their best player, and that includes Tyler Bray. And so, especially considering what they're up against, NC State's got a really, really good secondary. So, and that's who they face off at the Georgia Dome in that first of two Chick-fil-A kickoff games. So it's a big loss for them. It's horrible timing, big time loss, but one that I think, considering his checkered past on Rocky Top, shouldn't be all that surprising.
Checkered, it's like the end zone. That's good. I like that. Yeah, Barrett Sally joining us. We were talking about Bleacher Report earlier, Barrett. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up over there? Pat and I are both huge fans, and not only the content we find in there, but also the way the thing is sort of designed, I guess, to feed individual fans' tastes for your favorite team. It's a very cool website.
Yeah, I was hired as their lead SEC writer back in March. I spent 4.5 years at College Football News and spent about a total of 12 years in the media in various forms, covering mostly college football, but some other regional sports here in Atlanta, Atlanta Braves, things like that. So I was hired back in March as part of the second wave of lead writers. They hired 5 last summer and then are hiring, or still in the midst of hiring, about 30 or 40 specific writers that cover, leagues, conferences, divisions, things of that nature, and even some specific teams for college football and NFL starting here shortly. So, I joined them back in March, and it's been a great experience. We have a lot of fun things coming for this football season with a lot of video content, and now that we've been purchased by Turner, it's It's probably going to be even more video-centric, at least on my end, in the coming weeks and months. And it's a lot of fun. Hey, it's a full-time job covering the SEC, even in the off-season. But now that the season is upon us, we have actual games to talk about, which is a nice change of pace.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Auburn.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm not going to hold that against you. I was going to ask you about them, too, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's start with closer to home for us and your thoughts on Arkansas this season. And certainly most people have them at the back end of a three-way race in the West. Where do you place Arkansas in the pantheon of the SEC West, and how much do you gauge that when you consider Bobby Petrino's departure?
Well, I have them at third, just sort of right on the tail end of that, elite status in the SEC. I think they lose, their two big games against LSU and Alabama, although I would not be surprised if they won either one of those games, because I think they're very much as much of a national title contender now as they were when Petrino left, because there's really no other team in the country. I don't think there's any team in the world that's more capable of withstanding the loss of Bobby Petrino than this Arkansas team, because of the leadership of Tyler Wilson, the presence of Paul Petrino on the staff, the continuity that John L. Smith brings, all those things coupled with the schedule, both the biggest games, Alabama and LSU both being in Fayetteville, really lend itself to a title run. So, and then getting Alabama early with all the defensive holes that Alabama is going to have is really big for Arkansas. So, I still think they're a good program on the verge of being great, but they're going to have to prove it, and proving it means beating Alabama in week three. And if they do that, then they're certainly capable of not only winning the national title, I think at that point they'd probably be the favorite.
If not Arkansas, then who else? Who do you like between LSU and Alabama to take the West?
I like Alabama. I think, Nick Saban's proven that. I hate this cliche, but I've said it about Alabama about a million times this offseason. They don't rebuild, they just reload. But, it's a little different than it is in 2000, was in 2010 when they were filling a bunch of holes on defense with some inexperienced players. This year, a lot of the players they're filling those holes with have significant experience. Dee Milliner started six games last year, was basically their starting nickelback, and then started basically the entire season in 2010 when Drake Kirkpatrick was injured and banged up. So, it's going to be a tough season for Bama, I think, to repeat, but I think they're certainly capable of repeating. The one thing, again, and it sort of goes back to the schedule, if they're going to lose, I still think they're going to win the West, but I'm not overly confident in that pick, because Michigan can put up a ton of points in the first game. Arkansas can put up a ton of points in the third game, and that plays into the weakness of Alabama if there is one.
In the East, it seems to be a three-headed monster as well, with Florida in the top 25 again, and then you got Georgia at six, which I think most people in America, even Mark Richt, has to believe is a little bit overrated, and then South Carolina. So who do you like on that side of things?
I like Georgia to win the East, but I think South Carolina is the most talented team, and you're right, I think Georgia is overrated, but it's sort of one of those things where the voters voting based on the urge to be right, because Georgia's probably going to end up in the top 10 because their schedule's so weak. But right now, they're not a top 10 football team. They have too many question marks. But I think South Carolina, just because they have to play Arkansas and Columbia and go to LSU, those two games are not good matchups for the Gamecocks. And because of that, I think Georgia makes the SEC championship game sort of in the same fashion they did last year. They'll lose to South Carolina, but win every other game and make it to Atlanta. That's why, really, I think the biggest game in the SEC East this year is Georgia at Missouri week two, because Georgia's going to have a ton of suspensions on the defensive side of the football, and we know Missouri can put some points on the board. So if Missouri can get that win, and that's going to have sort of that game of the century feel, being the first SEC game in Missouri history, that throws the entire division up for grabs for everybody, including Florida, including Missouri. Now that Tennessee lost Rodgers, maybe they take a step back, but that's not completely out of the question that they make a run either. So I think the East is going to be really, really interesting for different reasons than the West, but I'm thoroughly intrigued with how that entire division plays out this year.
Barrett Sally of BleacherReport.com joining us here on the Revolution Hotline. You mentioned Missouri. Let me ask you about A&M and Missouri and what you see as the short-term and long-term impact for those programs in the SEC. Around here, and I'm sure you hear some of this where you are too, there isn't a whole lot of respect for these teams, I think largely in part because they're coming from the Big 12 and, SEC fans look down their nose at every other conference.
Yeah, that is exactly right. That's exactly the perception. And I think that's a little bit unfair in Texas A&M's, case, because I think they're very, SEC-centric. That seems like an SEC program, as I feel. Missouri doesn't, but I think they're more set up for short-term success. I wouldn't be surprised if, especially considering the way their schedule sets up. If we're talking about them in East contention towards the end of October, I think they certainly are capable of doing that, even though they don't play a whole lot of defense. Long term, I think A&M, you know, set up for significant success. You know, being able to sell the SEC to recruits in Texas is a huge deal. You know, I think A&M, you know, they're going to struggle this year. They're going to struggle to make a bowl game this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won the West in 6 years. I mean, that's certainly plenty of time for that program to sell itself as the SEC school in the state of Texas. And if the SEC keeps up the you know, the strong play and the national titles keep coming, that's going to draw a lot of that top tier talent to College Station.
Barrett Sally joining us in the zone from BleacherReport.com. Let me ask you about the other schools we haven't mentioned in the SEC, and that would include your alma mater. Really, the only buzz I've heard on Auburn is, you know, the tight end. Lutzen Kirkin's gotten a lot of love in preseason. But talk about them a little bit and maybe which team you think might be surprisingly good as far as Auburn, the Mississippi schools, Vandy, Kentucky, the schools we haven't really talked about.
Well, I think Auburn is going to be improved. I think the loss of Gus Malzahn really isn't that much of a loss anyway. I thought he was incredibly overrated and incredibly predictable as an offensive coordinator last year.
Really? You know, we're going to have him on a little bit. I will not mention to him that you said that you hurt his feelings. But why do you say that?
I think he was very predictable. I think he was predictable really in 2010 as well. But, you know, predictable with Cam Newton's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
You know, I think defensive coordinators learned what he was going to do and learned how he adjusted to every situation. And really, it didn't help that they had, you know, a really green offensive line and Michael Dyer. Even though he had a great season, they stopped using him towards the end of the season because of God knows why, probably because of off-the-field issues. I think they're going to be better. They're still a young football team, but the schedule sets up well. You know, most of the tough games are at home. They got to find a – you know, I think quarterback is pretty much settled at Kyle Frazier, but I think they have to find a steady running back because I feel McHale is not big enough to handle that pounding in the SEC, and, you know, some of the other guys really have no experience. So, I think it's going to be one of those years for Auburn, sort of like 2009. Record-wise, it's not going to look much different than last year, probably 8-4, 8-5. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be in more games. They're not going to get blown out. You know, last year they lost all five of their games by 14 or more points. They'll be in games more this year than they were last year, and I think that's sort of how you have to judge that team.
I work in my weekends with Central Arkansas, and they open at Ole Miss this year. And, of course, everybody's watching Hugh Freeze, having been at Arkansas State, and they kind of understand what he's going to do, which I think long-term will make it, you know, fun to watch Ole Miss football, but certainly he's got a ton of holes to fill this fall. You got any insight for me that I can use on my broadcast when we get ready to play over there on the 1st?
They better establish some semblance of an offense and find some playmakers because they don't have any in Oxford right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough season for Hugh Freeze. The schedule makers didn't do him any favors. Got to travel to Alabama, LSU, Arkansas, and Georgia. That's difficult for anybody. And then to compound it, you know, he dismissed his best player, Nicholas Brazel. Tobias Singleton, who they were really, really high on as a recruit, isn't there anymore. And mm-hmm. They don't have a quarterback yet. And they don't have a running back that aside from Jeff Scott. So it's going to be a rough ride for Ole Miss. I don't know how they survive this season with anything more than 3 or 4 wins.
And they've got, I think Texas's goes over there too, right?
Yeah, third week of the season. They play the Longhorns in Oxford. So yeah. It's going to be rough.
So 7 straight for the SEC this year, are you predicting, or you think USC or Oklahoma or somebody else steps up finally?
You know, I say Alabama's going to win the national title, but I don't love that pick just because I think there's plenty of question marks there. I think that, you know, this could be one of those seasons if Alabama loses to Arkansas, and I think that's a really tough game for the Tide, that the SEC gets left out altogether. You know, I think Oregon really? Could run the table. I think USC could run the table. Whoever wins those, there's probably going to be 2 matchups between those 2 teams. I think, you know, one of those teams could easily run the table as well as, you know, in Oklahoma. And I hate the Florida State love, but their schedule does lend itself to that a little bit. So, you know, I think it's going to be if an SEC team loses a game, I don't think that they're going to be in the title game this year.
Really? Okay. So you think one loss does them in, huh?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be one of those seasons where either USC or Oregon establish itself as a Pac-12 power, and then another team from a rather decent conference will win the table. And at that point, if you're the SEC, you have to tip your hat because, you know, even though it is the SEC, if you lose the game, you lose the SEC.